The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment of I'm Talking To You, originally recorded and broadcast on Thursday, May the 22nd, 2025, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled The Oldest Football Club in the World. And folks, this show is not just about football. I'm getting into some of the sort of media stuff that you're interested in as well. I have to come up with a title, and that is it, and you'll find out why in a moment. But before that, it is 9:03 a.m. here in London, in England, making it 4:03 a.m. on the East Coast of America and 1:03 a.m. on the West Coast of America. So welcome to wherever you are around the world. And today's show title, The Oldest Football Club in the World, relates to the football team that I support, Crystal Palace, that finally won their first major trophy since they formed in 1861, when they beat Manchester City at Wembley Stadium on Saturday to win the FA Cup. According to the Our History page on the Crystal Palace website, the link to which I will be including in the post for this show at achshow.com, and I quote, "Crystal Palace can draw an established link back to the Crystal Palace football team established in 1861, which played its first match in March 1862. The connection makes Palace the oldest league club in existence still playing professional football, and found members of both the Football Association and FA Cup. As such, the club updated its crest in June of 2022 to celebrate the club's 1861 origins and its historic role in the development of modern football. The club became professional in 1905 and has since gone on to enjoy over 115 years of professional existence, first reaching England's top flight in 1969. Now, most supporters of any sports team support them due to a familial connection, and I am no different. My dad sold football programmes on the Crystal Palace terraces at the age of 10 in the 1940s, where he would get a shilling for every 100 football programmes he sold. He continued to work there part-time as an adult on the turnstiles, where he worked on a drizzly evening in April 1962 when they hosted the legendary Real Madrid for a friendly to help showcase their newly installed floodlights. So well done, Palace. It's been a 164-year wait, but you got there in the end. Now, I couldn't watch this game. Well, not in the flat anyway, because I can't watch live TV because I don't have a TV licence. But I could have gone out to numerous pubs that would have the FA Cup on. It is one of the few sports events that are ring-fenced in this country that have to be aired for free. So the BBC tends to air it, and ITV will also air it, stuff like that. But you still have a TV licence to watch both. That wasn't the reason I couldn't watch it. I couldn't watch it because I would have been too nervous. I know how Crystal Palace play. They can be very unpredictable. And the team that they were playing, when Manchester City, when they played them last, only a month or two ago, It wasn't Manchester City's ground, but Manchester City beat them 5-2. Okay, so a comfortable win. What I did was the kickoff was at, I think, 4:30. And you got 45 minutes each half. I'm just going into this for people who don't follow soccer. And then you have 15 minutes in the middle, half time. So I thought, well, by 6:30, they should have been wrapped up, you know, if they were on time by 6:15. But sometimes you have extra time in each half and, you know, for injuries and they might kick off a bit late. So I go onto the BBC text feed at 6:30, and I use the BBC text feed a lot, not just for that, but for darts. Like, it's the Premier League darts tonight. It's the last night before they have the finals next week. So I will be tuning in on BBC just after 7 o'clock. You don't see any darts, but you see the scores coming in. And, you know, I don't sit there glued to that. I'm looking at all sorts of other things and then going back to that tab on my browser to see where we're up to. But it was 6:30 or 6:29, I think, and it said that Crystal Palace were 1-0 up and they were in the 9th minute of extra time. So they added 9 minutes on to the game, which is pretty rare to add that amount of time on. But they held on. And when I looked at what had happened during the game, Crystal Palace got their 1-0 lead, which is what they won by, in the 16th minute. So I would have been on absolute tenterhooks for all that time, waiting for Manchester City to equalise. And indeed, they got a penalty and they failed to score that. Crystal Palace scored another goal that was disallowed. There was controversy because Crystal Palace goalkeeper handled the ball outside the box, but he wasn't sent off for it, which many people believed he should be, because apparently the guy that he was challenging at the time, Erling Haaland, wasn't going for goal at the time, which I find very surprising because he is a striker. But at the same time, somebody who was a Crystal, is a Crystal Palace fan, the last time that they reached the FA Cup final, they'd only been there twice before, 2016 under Alan Pardew, and I believe 1990, or was it 91, under Steve Coppell. They lost both times. But they played Manchester United in both of those finals, lost them both times. I think one of them went to a replay, the 1991. But in the 2016 one, they scored a goal, which many people said was a perfect goal, but it was disallowed by the referee, and there was all sorts of controversy with that. So some guy I was talking to was like, well, yeah, it looked a bit dodgy to me, but, you know, we were hard done by in the 2016 final with that goal. And sometimes, you know, life is, things are, you know, can level themselves off in the end, can't they? But it was great to see them get a trophy, because I've got a few anecdotes about them. I had a friend who was, and I'm an armchair fan, folks. I have never been to watch a Crystal Palace game. So I've never been to their ground, I've been to Wembley, anything like that. But I had a friend who I worked with back in the 1990s who was a Palace fan, and he used to say that he liked them because they were so dreadful. And back then, if they got into the top league, they did very well in like 1990-91. They had Ian Wright as a striker who got bought by Arsenal, and they went downhill after that. But I think they finished second or third, something like that, in the top division. But after that, the decline began. And when they were going, would ever get into the top division, they were known as a yo-yo club. So they'd be in there for one season, then they'd get relegated, what have you. They've been in the top division, I believe, since 2013. And they've been there ever since, not gone down. But this friend of mine, he explained to me back in the, was it the 80s, where someone would take a free kick in football, and they'd have two people and one might run over the ball and the other person take it, or the first person might take it and you're thinking the other one might be taking it and the first one will run over the ball, that sort of thing. You know what I'm talking about? Well, basically, when Crystal Palace did it, the first player ran over the ball and the second player who took the free kick managed to kick it into his back. So that's one of the sort of things that Crystal Palace would get up to back in those old days. There's a song by I, Ludacris called Preposterous Tales, where it's all about, well, preposterous tales. And one of the preposterous tales is that they saw the Crystal Palace score 4 goals away from home. Something which, again, I believe that they have actually achieved. They might have even gone above that in recent years when they've become a better team. My feeling with Crystal Palace has always been, we have 2 cup competitions in the UK, and then you have the league, and then you have people that are in different European competitions, which Crystal Palace have never been. But funnily enough, this time they will be. They've got 8 games extra next season, and that's if they don't progress to the next stage in Europe. They've got to play 4 teams home and away. So that means that they've got to go to 4 different European venues to play people. My view with Crystal Palace was always, I wanted to see them knocked out of both the cups in the first round, okay? So that then they could just concentrate on Premier League survival, because they're not a club with a lot of money. Every season they seem to have to sell their best players. Last season they did. One went to Bayern Munich, I believe. And then this season, apparently the 2 best players, they're going to be sold again. So you're just grateful when you get over the line at the end of the season and you've not gone down. And they always seem to start badly. This year they lost their first 7 games, or I think they might have got 1 draw out of it, something like that. So you're always thinking, is this it? This season we're finally going to go down. So it was a real bonus. And when you look at all these top teams that are going to be leaving this season with nothing, it's quite encouraging that they did that. So anyway, that is my little bit about football. Well, not necessarily, because staying on the subject of football, Gary Lineker was fired by the BBC this week for something he posted on the internet. He's been suspended by the organisation for posting things on the internet in the past, but for some reason this time his internet post was deemed only punishable by dismissal from the BBC. I wonder if you can guess what that reason was, folks. Okay, so this bonus show was made possible via 3 donations, a £15, a £10 and a £25, I received since the last bonus show, which went out last Tuesday, May the 13th. I want to thank these 3 kind supporters of the show. They not only provided the £45 I needed for a bonus show, but they have also put £5 in the kitty, which means I only need another £45 for another bonus show. So if you want to be part of that, the donate button is at the top of my website, achshow.com, and the rest is up to you. Now, what I was supposed to be doing this morning was getting up, checking my news, checking the shows to download, and I've deliberately not looked at any news. So if half the world's on fire or something, folks, and you're thinking, why did you spend the first 10 minutes talking about football? Was it the first 10 minutes, or did I go on longer than that? Oh, I'm up to 13 minutes now, I see. Okay, let me go back to my screen. The right one would be preferable. Yeah, here we are. So I also check if I've got any donations. So I have to check my bank as well as my email, because if you go on the donate button, it comes into me by email, but some people donate direct to my account. And there was the £25 in there I just mentioned. So that, I was like, oh, I needed 20. So I've got 25, so I'm going to do a bonus show this morning. What I was going to do was check shows, check news, and then stick this copy of The Long Good Friday I've got here, which I bought. It's starring Bob Hoskins and Helen Mirren. It's regarded as one of the classic British films of all time. And when I went to buy it, it was 50p, okay? And I didn't grab it straight away, because I look at it, running time 109 minutes approximate. So that's nearly 2 hours, isn't it? And I don't think to myself these days, that's only 50p. I think, would I be better served spending this 2 hours watching, you know, 3 episodes of CSI? Because they generally come in at sometimes even under 40 minutes. So you can sometimes get those into that period of time. Or 3 Criminal Minds or something like that. Or the other things that I'm still going through, like Monty Python's Flying Circus, Minder, Wycliffe. I'm re-watching The Poirots with David Suchet, because fortunately, any ones that I remember, I abandon. But most of them I don't remember, so it's like watching them fresh. I ended up buying this, and I watched it yesterday. And I don't know as to I'll watch it again, but it was quite a well done film, and it had an interesting history. And this is an Anchor Bay DVD, and Anchor Bay are very good. If you see a secondhand Anchor Bay, it's generally got lots of extras. It's been restored very well. So even if I'd liked this film enough to buy it on Blu-ray, I don't think I'd have bothered, because sometimes you get something on DVD and you think that really does look crisp. And if you can understand everything the people are saying, because Blu-ray actually does more for the audio than it does for the visual, which is something not a lot of people are aware of, because they see it on the screen, they're like, wow, that looks really sharp. But you can pick up a lot more on the audio. I especially noticed that in The Sopranos, because, you know, Tony Soprano can be quite difficult to understand, even for some American audiences. So you can imagine what it's like for people here in the UK. But I noticed it easier with the Blu-ray. It's got a little booklet inside. It was quite funny, because I was decided to go through everything on the DVD, because they had this extra where they got together, Bob Hoskins and the director, who's that, John McKenzie, there he is, got together and had a little Q&A session at a 20th anniversary screening of the film in London. And that was, what, 27 minutes? And that was quite interesting. And so I started looking at the cast biographies and stuff like that. But it's got this little booklet inside that the writing in it is so small, I had to go by my window with my glasses on, holding it at a distance, reading it through. And I'm looking at this stuff on the screen, and I'm like, this is the same as the stuff in the booklet. I wish I'd have waited to look at the booklet until after I'd looked at it on the screen. But because I'd sort of seen the film and knew what happened anyway, although I had actually, there were bits in there I'd forgotten about that was quite a shock. So it was worth seeing, but I was going to stick it in the DVD in the computer today to record the commentary track, because I've got the feeling that, because the director was part of that panel with Bob Hoskins, and he was quite an interesting guy, and I think it might be one of those films that I'd be more interested to listen to the commentary track of than the actual film itself. I don't plan to watch it again. As I say, I hesitated when I picked it up to buy it, but in the end it was worth doing. And this takes me to shows that I looked at this morning. There was hardly anything to download. I had to go back to something I haven't listened to for a long while because they were annoying me. And I was waiting for one of the three that annoys me to not be on. But I just thought, well, I can just download it. If they annoy me, I can just turn it off and watch something else. But basically, yeah, I just... Another thing I found frustrating is video shows. All right, do you remember the song Video Killed the Radio Star? Well, I don't think it was very applicable when it was released in, what, 79 by Buggles. Buggles was, I think it was that, did they do an album or was it just that song? It was basically Trevor Horn, who went on to be a big producer, producing the likes of Frankie Goes to Hollywood, I think most famously. The Art of Noise as well, stuff like that, lesser known. But when it comes to radio today, video really has killed the radio star. And what I mean by that is the majority of shows are video now. Now, what I've always said is 1 second is a long time in radio. So if the air suddenly goes dead for 1 second, so that was 1 second just then, you're like, well, you might be already reaching for your phone thinking, has it cut out? You know, that's what I find I'm doing. And I remember I hadn't listened to Alex Jones for donkey's years. And when I went to listen to him 2-3 years ago, whenever it was, and I downloaded the audio, and I'm like, what's going on? And then it was only a few times later that I noticed, you see, because he's on video now, he'll start doing things with his face or expressions and stuff like that rather than speaking. You see, I was used to him going, you know, he would talk even faster than me. I'm quite a fast talker. And he, bah, 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 you know, and ranting and what have you in the early 2000s, because he was just radio. But the amount of people that have gone to video now, oh, let's have a look at this, or let's do this, that and the other. And it's like, you're just hanging there. And I'm sorry if you're someone who likes this sort of thing, but I think that it really ruined the alternative media. And when you look at the sort of things that get to the top, we'll be looking at beforeitsnews.com top 10 later on. There's all things that get prominence that supposedly people are clicking on the most, which is why they're getting to the top 10. I mean, that's what they say, and they may well be telling us the truth. Because for me, the sort of people that enjoy watching two faces talking to each other, it's just moronic to my mind. You know, unless you're going to say, right, I've got something to show you, I'm going to cut to some footage here, and you really need to see it to see what's going on. Why do you want to look at a couple of ugly mugs for 2 hours? It ruins radio because they're doing that sort of thing. But and there was one website, and I'm not going to identify it because I appreciate the person who's put a lot of effort into putting it together. But they offer you a download of the MP3 or the MP4, and more often than not at the moment, you go to download the MP3 and it doesn't work, and you get like a 4 kilobyte file, which is obviously nothing. And they know there's a problem, they've said, and they said it's going to be sorted out, but you just get cheesed off in the end, and you look at the show and you think, did I really want it that much anyway? Sometimes the MP4 works, but the MP3 doesn't. And so then you download the MP4 and you have to then convert it to an MP3. And I don't have the appetite today. I'm like, I just can't be bothered. I might go in later. And sometimes the MP4 doesn't work either. So you sort of write, and I can't be bothered writing in. I just have enough. But yeah, so I was going to be listening to the Long Good Friday commentary later. I doubt I'm going to have time because I'm going over to my mum's today. I generally go over there on a Wednesday, but it was raining. And I need to do the lawn because I had last week off. I still went over there. I didn't stay. That was the difference. So I really need to do the lawn as soon as possible before it gets like a meadow and I have to becomes a real bugger to cut, as they say. So, yeah. So we will see. I finished off the Darryl Bradford Smith stuff I was listening to. I started listening to all his shows from RBN, and I was one who found them, because when he left RBN under acrimonious circumstances, they took his shows down. These days you can go to republicbroadcastingarchives.org and you can click on their drop down box of hosts, and they've got all the hosts they've had with shows going back to 2016. They had a similar thing back then in what, that would be 2005? And I got the search string, I think Jack Blood, and you had a whole search string, and then at the end I think it said Blood. And so I took that search string and I wrote Smith, and nothing came up. And then I wrote Setters, because his first couple of shows where he was filling in for John Moore, who back then was doing a Saturday morning show, and this was like January of 2005. He did two in a row because John Moore was doing some tour around the country. So I think they used that, John Statmiller used that as a kind of opportunity to audition Darryl Bradford Smith, see if it was worth giving him his own show. And he subsequently got that, but he called himself Darryl Setters, which I believe was... Obviously, I knew Darryl and I went and stayed with him for a weekend. I believe that was his legal name. But I think he changed it to his Setters with his stepfather's name. And his father had died. He was a pilot or something in the war, I believe, and he died. So he changed it to his stepfather's name, but then he decided to go back to Smith when he was doing the show. So it turned out that Setters was the name that his shows were all saved under. So I then downloaded them all. I edited them to get all the adverts out of them, and I ended up getting them over to Darryl. I remember it took four CDs worth? Probably, yeah, 4 CDs worth or 4 DVDs worth. And I emailed them. I had to post them physically to him where he was in France, and he got them uploaded to his website. Otherwise, the shows would have been forever lost. And I started listening to all of them. And then you start to see certain guests, and I'm, and already you're like, well, I know this guy's anyway. I don't want to listen to him. You know what I mean? There was some interesting Joel Skousen going back to then. So I don't know if he was on Rents at that time. But one thing that Darryl did mention, and he kind of... Well, we'll get to that in a moment. So anyway, I started and I was really only listening to Eric Huffschmidt as a guest, Michael Collins Piper as a guest, Chris Berlin as a guest, and John Kaminsky as a guest. So he left RBN, and then later in 2005 he went to GCN. And I carried on listening to those shows, and he left there in February of 2006. He was actually fired from there. He left RBN because he wasn't happy with something that had gone on a show, but he was fired from GCN because there's something on Metapedia, I think, it says he was causing too much trouble. That's anyway, that's what they say. I never got into it with him, but on his first show that was solo and only available on his website, iamthewitness.com. Don't bother going there now, folks, unless you're on the Wayback Machine, because you won't find it. Daryl passed away late last year, and he took his website down the years before that. It was interesting to hear him go into some of the details, because he said that on networks, a lot of the guests you have to take. So you get a few shows where you can pick your own guests, but that's subject to you doing shows where the network give you the guest and you have to take that guest. That, well, I'm not sure if that's what goes on today, but that's what he said was going on back then. He joked, you remember all these shows that used to talk about getting a big Berkey water filter? I've actually got one. I got one in when the lockdown happened, because I knew I wasn't going to be able to get home deliveries of my sparkling water, so I bought a big Berkey. And the water has actually got a lovely flavour. My mother commented as well that it really has a nice flavour, but someone emailed me, and I think that they've gone bust. So the filters last for 10 years, so I think I've got another 5 years on the filters, and then it looks like I might be getting something else. But he made a joke that he never sold a Berkey, because if you sell a Berkey, apparently you've got some sort of kickback commission, but he never did. But he admitted himself that he had a very abrasive style, and going back to listen to it again, I could hear why I was listening to him, but I kind of stopped at that first solo show. It was interesting to hear the revelations of what goes on at networks and stuff like that, but I kind of decided not to go ahead further. I might dive in. I know when that show was. It was February of 2006, and as I say, I've got precious little to listen to today. So I might go on in the same format, but then I might listen to the likes of Mohammed Rafiq. I think he came on in his first week. And we will see. But I actually met Mohammed Rafiq as well. We had a coffee that lasted 2.25 hours. If I'd have known it had lasted 2.25 hours, I'd have bought a second one. But yeah, we met up, and he sadly died as well. So yeah, I'm one of the few that's left from this old guard. But yeah, so that's my little moan about video shows and the sort of going off on a tangent that I'm sure you'll all be accustomed to now. So here's what I found of interest in the news since Saturday's show. And I do hope that this was worth donating for. So let's go over to... Okay, we talked about the protests in Spain against British tourists. Well, British tourists have kind of come back. I think more in the media than confronting these protesters head on, because they've been, you know, they've not been assaulted violently. They've had water sprayed at them. I think some in Barcelona and that. And, you know, I don't think I particularly like water sprayed on me, but, you know, that could technically be, you know, classed as an assault, but so can being punched in the mouth. And I know which I prefer. So they were pushing back on this, getting a bit cheesed off. And I saw that, I think, on Sunday. And then on Monday, going over to the Canary Islands now, and I've been to pretty much all of those. What's it, Lanzarote, Gran Canaria, even the La Palma, the one where the bit's going to break off at some time and cause that mega tsunami, excuse me, that we were talking about. Went there on a day trip from one of the islands. Oh no, I think it was on a cruise with my parents. That doesn't really matter, does it? But yeah, so the Canary Islands, there were holiday makers that they were too scared to leave their rooms because thousands of anti-tourism protesters were doing a protest on the streets. And that was Monday, what, 3 days ago? So that was something that I noticed. Something that Dave Gahari and James Mason covered on their show yesterday. A woke history book claims, this is in the UK, that Stonehenge was built by black people. So you might have heard it on that show. I'd already got the article, so I had it saved. And, yeah, it's... I remember, and I think it was a BBC, it was either an article or it was someone from the BBC, but I'm not going to pin my flag to that mast, but it was either or. But literally coming out and saying it's more important to essentially socially engineer people than it is to tell them the truth. So if we have to make up history in order to get our belief system into people, we will do that. And that was years ago. And don't forget, that Bilderberg Group meeting, was it 2018? Where the last topic before any other business was the post-truth world. You can go to bilderbergmeetings.org. I believe there's one coming up imminently, because Tony Gosling was talking about it on his show at the weekend. It tends to be around this time of year. I think it's in... I can't quite remember. Anyway... That's coming up. But yeah, if you go to 20, they have all the participants now listed and all the agendas for each meeting listed. Then we've got this pregnant drugs mule. She's 19 years old and she was caught trying to smuggle 22 kilograms of cannabis into Britain from Canada. And she was spared jail, ladies and gentlemen. And this was because she told the court she needed the cash for a house deposit. Now, I mean, it says here her name is Daniela Cancam Adu. And she was offered £250 in return for smuggling £225,000 worth of cannabis from Canada to Newcastle Airport on March the 3rd this year. So there you go. These are the sort of people being spared jail. When there's another story where somebody's tried to do that into Georgia. I think someone else into Thailand. You know, I thought you smuggle drugs out of countries like that, not into them. But I mentioned the other day about, it was some 18-year-old girl. And some guy who's not fluent in English, so he's gone to see her. He's a lawyer in that country. And he's gone to see him with an interpreter and he says, basically, you know, we need leniency here because this girl, she might be 18, but she still has the brain of a child. Really is just childlike. And that is how so many young people are today. I mean, a show is only as good as its audience. And a show that's good, if you want a show to be successful and you want to make a certain amount of money out of it. I always say you're in the wrong game here, but people do make money out of it. And the people who make money out of it are the people I don't listen to, because either they're not telling the truth or they're talking, or it's pure disinformation for a reason. But it shows how moronic people are that they would pay for that sort of stuff. So again, that's the intelligence level of a lot of people these days. Okay, so this person... not this one that I mentioned in the headline, but this other one that I think we might get into later because there might be another headlines that, you know, they are like a child. And for that, you can thank the people in control of your countries, dumbing everything down. Let's go on to, what else have I got here? Oh, here we are. Oh, you all know this story. These are all old stories. You must feel very hard done by, but... Dan Bongino and Kash Patel, weren't they going on about Jeffrey Epstein definitely committed suicide? It's amazing, isn't it, how one's... I mean, I never listened to them, so I presume most people in the alternative media, even in the bits of the alternative media like the Dan Bonginos that I didn't like, I thought most of them still went as far as to say that Epstein didn't commit suicide. But then again, Kash Patel... He was grilled about being on a show with Stu Peters, and I believe it was several times, not just once. And he just denied it, flat out lied to whatever his hearing was, Congress, Senate, whatever, I don't know what it is. But yeah, and nothing happened, of course. I thought that if you lied to the FBI, you'd get 5 years in prison. And he's what, an FBI director? It's weird, isn't it, how things work out? And then finally, what I had for you is Tom Cruise. He said when he planned to retire from acting. Apparently, Mission Impossible 9, I believe, is coming out. I think I saw a couple of those films. Not really for me. There was one where... I saw one because Philip Seymour Hoffman was in it as the villain, you know? And that was why I saw it, basically. I was going to a Philip Seymour Hoffman phase because he's a really good actor, but he's a lot of these really good actors, they do films that you have absolutely no interest in seeing. Although he did play an interesting character in The Master, which that was a sad in real life for him, because basically he was a recovering, not just alcoholic, but he was a drug user, stuff like that. And basically what happened was he was on the rap party of The Master, and he accepted a glass of champagne, and then he died of heroin addiction literally only a few years later. And it all went back to him just taking that glass of champagne. It's amazing, isn't it, how it works out. Very sad, but to lose such a good actor. Anyway, Tom Cruise, he's said he was going to retire from films at 80, now he's going to retire from films at 100. And with the way he looks and stuff like that, you just don't quite know. I mean, obviously he's got a belief that I don't share, but when he has been interviewed, he comes across as quite a reasonable chap. But he is good in the films that he's in. I think the only one that I've really seen a few times is Eyes Wide Shut, you know, because it's a Stanley Kubrick film. And it's one of those films that people, it's like Stanley Kubrick's Godfather Part 3, you know, oh, this is terrible. And anyway, it was cut to ribbons under the, and, you know, Kubrick died mysteriously. That was all done by the powers that should not be, all this sort of stuff. But it is still Kubrick in the way that The Godfather 3 is still The Godfather. So if you've seen those two films and you're like dismissing it, if you just go back again, with The Godfather, I would watch 1 and 2 first, or listen to the audio commentaries as I do. And actually, it's not quite as bad as you think. It's a hell of a lot better than a lot of things that are out there these days. But like Minority Report, that's right up my alley. You know, the sort of things we talk about on here, people being arrested for before they commit a crime. But I was sort of watching it and I just got bored. It didn't really make a lot of sense to me, so, you know, I tuned out. But anyway, let's see what's going on in the right now in the mainstream media. And I hope that there's something still up there as a top story, because... Oh, right, so... Ah, no, this is it. This is what we're going to do first, actually, folks. I went to bed last night while Manchester United and Tottenham, going back to football again, don't worry, we're not going to dwell on it for long, but they were in the Europa League final, which is the second top European final. It's like the equivalent of the FA Cup in the UK. They were in that final. And what had happened, it's over in Spain, and they've caused all sorts of problems over there because football fans in the UK are known for that. So, they're not really doing these British holidaymakers in Spain any favours by the way that they act, smashing up bars and all sorts of nonsense. But when I went to bed, it was half time, and Luke Shaw from Manchester United had scored an own goal. Now, I don't know what the score is, because that was one of the first things I wanted to do today, but after I saw I got the donation, I thought, let's wait till I'm on air, and let's find out on air what the score was. Not a fan of either team, but they're literally just above the relegation places in the Premier League. And it's the sort of thing that if you said to me at the start of the season that Crystal Palace will finish above Manchester United and Tottenham Hotspur, I'd be like, well, they could even win the league, because these two sides are, you know, more often than not in recent years, they're top five sides in the Premier League. So, there you go. But they are, what, 16th and 17th? But somehow they made it to the final of the Europa League being played in Spain. So let's see, did it stay at 1-0? And was it an own goal for Luke Shaw? And the reason I'm so interested in that is if it stayed like that, this is the sort of thing that will go on for years. Someone will say, yeah, I love Luke Shaw, he won the cup for Tottenham. And of course, you know, it was by an own goal, so it was unintentional. So this guy will get stick for the rest of his life. So for his sake, I hope that Manchester United won it. But we will find out now by clicking on BBC Sport. Tottenham win Europa League best reaction images. Well, did it stay at 1-0? So I'm just going to click on here. So, yeah. Oh, wow, it did. It stayed at 1-0. But they're still attributing the goal to Brennan Johnson when I was seeing the BBC pundit saying, yeah, they're saying it was Tottenham's Brennan Johnson who got the goal, but it didn't. It went off Luke Shaw, the Man United defender. So anyway, it's quite an interesting one because Tottenham, they are known for hiring and firing their managers, and you'd have thought that this guy would have gone by now, but what happened was they had a manager, I think his name's Nino Espirito Santos. He was Tottenham manager. They had to pay money to the club he was at before. I think it was Wolverhampton Wanderers, I might be wrong. They had to pay them compensation to get this guy. And then this guy gets working for them, and he gets a few results they don't like, so they dismiss him. Well, he's since gone to Nottingham Forest, and Nottingham Forest are in the top five, and Spurs are down in 16th or 17th. So I think people are looking at the, you know, the hire and fire tactics of Tottenham and getting a little bit sick of it, because they'd have much rather held on to this guy and had them get him a top five place than what they've got now. But the manager that came in, Tottenham haven't won a trophy since 2008, so it's turned out to be a football year in the UK the underdogs, not really Tottenham an underdog, but they haven't won a trophy for, what, 17 years, and they end up winning a European trophy. So, yeah, there you go. They've got a Friday trophy parade being planned. That's the latest on the BBC feed. Let's go over to Associated Press. The top story here. Two staff members of Israeli embassy killed in shooting near Jewish Museum in D.C. Right, well, that's something I wasn't expecting. But what I was expecting was the second top story. Lights video confrontation. Trump's meeting with South African leader takes dramatic turn. This is APnews.com, Associated Press. Now, I was aware that Cyril Ramaphosa was meeting Donald Trump in DC on Wednesday. Okay, and I saw a Breitbart article that actually they said they were worried. I mean, who's they? That he was going to get a Zelensky-style reception. Well, from what I've read in some of the mainstream media yesterday, it was even worse than what Zelensky got. What I felt absolutely disgusted by was the amount of mainstream media services that are, oh, this is fake news that there's a white genocide in South Africa. Just listen to my show with Dr. Peter Hammond from Tuesday. Okay? It's right at the top of the website next to this one. Just listen to that and all the evidence he comes out with. And we refer to the Julius Malema Kill the Boer videos. And incidentally, there is a Nelson Mandela video of him singing that same song. I believe it's not in English, so someone might have been making up the translation, but certainly that's what they said he was singing, you know. And I do know that he was offered the opportunity to be released from prison in 1985, I believe, certainly the mid-80s in South Africa, if he renounced violence, and he refused to do so. You know, I don't like what's going on in the world. I don't like the way my country's been hijacked. But I don't ask people to commit violence. I'm always against violence. So it's funny how people like I are targeted, but people like that become world statesmen. So, yeah, it was. It's funny because I mention a lot the amount of alternative media platforms that keep promoting the President of the United States and how I think that that's ridiculous. But it's funny how life works out, isn't it? because he's the only leader I'm aware of that's gone out and talking about this white genocide in South Africa. So, you know, I have to take the win on this. It's the way it is. Would I prefer Trump not to have spoken about it or to have spoken about it? And the answer is I prefer him to have spoken about it. So there you go. But do please, that was a bumper show. I was there recording it because I had to go and meet Amanda for lunch. And I was like, you know, when you record a show and someone's speaking, you keep thinking, oh, they're about to wrap up now, because I don't have a set time anymore. But Peter ended up going on for 70 minutes and he apologised. Oh, I didn't realise I was going. I said, no, it's not a problem, because he's got a commitment next week, so there's no show next week. And as you know, this was our first show of May, because he had commitments, so I therefore, you know, organised taking Amanda to see my mum, and another time I had an appointment with the doctor, what have you. So I always fit in things when Peter's away, try and do that so we miss as few shows as possible. Okay, let's go over to the BBC. Definitely not going to have enough time to record the commentary of the Long Good Friday now. Be doing that on Friday when I get back. Okay, so let's scroll down to their top 10 articles. Most read, that's what it says. bbc.co.uk/news if you want to bookmark that and check that out. Number 10, the mood is changing. Israeli anger grows at conduct of war. Number 9, Chris Mason, Labour is still blaming the Conservatives. Number 8, North Korea's Kim slams serious accident at warship launch. Number 7, call for NHS to give women with dense breasts extra cancer scans. Number 6, what we know about Israeli embassy staff shooting. Well, as you know, I know nothing, just what I read out to you from AP. Number 5, Ramaphosa keeps cool during Trump's choreographed onslaught. Oh, choreographed. You get the language there. Ramaphosa keeps his cool and Trump's onslaught. That was all choreographed. You know, there are people being murdered, tortured. You listen to the way people are being killed in South Africa, and these bastards at the BBC, that's their way, that they don't want anyone to know what's going on over there. You imagine if it was the other way round. You never hear the end of it. Well, just go back to things like Stephen Biko and stuff like that, and how that was pumped all across our TV screens. But when it's white on black crime, the mainstream media can't scurry away fast enough. Number 4, UK sea temperatures soar after exceptionally warm spring. Number 3, violent criminals could be released early and chemical castration pilot expanded after review. Then love, anything to do with stopping people from living or having children or stuff like that, you know, maybe there's something to this depopulation thing after all. Especially certain people not having. I imagine certain people would actually get to the front of the queue for chemical castration in this country. Number 2, Starmer's U-turn and Trump's ambush. Number 1, Chagos deal paused by last-minute legal action. I believe that that's the island Diego Garcia, is it? Is it? Am I right there? Let's click on it, because this is where they have that military base. Chagos Islands deal. They're going to be handed over to Mauritius or something. Well, you can look in that if you're so interested. I think it might be different from Diego Garcia, but anyway, it's in that region, I believe. Let's go over then, have a look at the Daily Mail, see what's going on over there. Young Israeli diplomat couple soon to be engaged are shot dead by anti-Semite terrorists screaming Free Palestine in Washington, D.C. That is the Daily Mail headline. And the second one down, shambles as High Court stops Keir Starmer signing Chagos deal in 2 a.m. injunction, hours before PM was due to confirm British territory being handed back to Mauritius. So something going on over there. Oh, and it says here, paedophiles and other sex criminals will be castrated under new government plans. So I misinterpreted that BBC headline. I thought it was offering people the chance to be chemically castrated, like a vasectomy, something like that. So shows why you do need to read beyond the headline if you want to get the full story. Okay, so let's go over to see what's going on in the independent news right now. And RT.com, Russian missile strike obliterates Ukrainian special forces camp. And Netanyahu's forever war is killing Israel faster than its enemies. That's an opinion piece. Let's go over to Rents.com, see what's going on over there. And just scroll. Oh, I always do this. I scroll down, and I always jump to the first section of the news, so I have to scroll back up. There's a story pinned to the top paragraph. Shimatsu, that's Yoichi Shimatsu, one of Jeff's regular guests. Walmart's China sourcing crushed by Trump tariffs as rival Metro laughs. I think that's been up there for a while, but I don't know if I mentioned it. McGregor, US on the brink of crisis, Iran war, recession fears, Trump is not in control. Anything else? Trump confronts South African president in the White House about white genocide in South Africa. Video. That takes you to informationliberation.com. So if you want to start seeing that, that is something where, you know, if I played you a Julius Malema Kill the Boer video, you would only get the audio. Of course, Trump actually played video. And the Daily Mail, they were actually one of the news organisations. I don't like the Daily Mail, but again, like Trump, they can sometimes say something that one likes. And they were more on Trump's side than any of the other mainstream media. And I think part of it was he was showing articles to Ramaphosa, and some of them were Daily Mail articles, so of course they like that. Bit of free publicity there. Okay, let's go over to HalTurnerRadioShow.com. Excuse me. Congested today. I hope it's not unpleasant to hear. Top story, resolution introduced to expel Congresswoman charged with assaulting federal officers. And then we've got bond market trouble again. Updated 3:37 p.m. gold soars. And then this thing here. It says, I think you should look at this. Guy claims seismic bond market collapse, currency collapse, worst depression ever soon. It says, I'm not sure what to make of this, but I think you should see it. Financial Armageddon? Question mark. He gets really angry at the end. Talks 1776 type stuff. But a lot of what he says is already shown to be true. I thought you should have the chance to hear it directly and not my interpretation of it. Incidentally, he is doing this video from his beachside mansion in Hawaii. The guy's name is Christopher Green. You can watch it on X, and it's
ladies
how
and gentlemen,
long?
This is absolute
12 minutes 10 seconds. So I won't be able to watch it later because I don't have any speakers at my mum's. It's not set up for that. I've got a computer that doesn't work properly there. But yeah, so if you want to see more on that, I was going to look at it last night, but I ran out of time. 12 minutes 10 seconds. You might even be able
to. Terrible.
No, I tried clicking on it. Right-clicking, see if I could download it, but I can't. So, there you go. Okay, let's go over to. Actually, I'm going to leave that there because I could record 12 minutes. I'll have enough time to do that, and then I'll save it as an MP3 and have a listen rather than a watch. Although, watching someone in front of the beach talking is probably a lot more interesting than someone in front of a green screen. Let's go over to earthnewspaper.com. My friend Mark R. Elsis. I didn't mention a few weeks ago when it was his 29th anniversary. I feel really guilty about it because he does so much for this show in promoting it. But it's one of those things where, you know, when you go somewhere and you go on a website and you don't even look at the top of it because you're on the way, you know where you're going to start looking at where the news is. But he sometimes changes his banner, and he's changed it. This is one of the other banners that he uses, not as regularly as the normal earthnewspaper.com website banner, but I'm going to read it to you. Earthnewspaper.com has become a website where intelligent free thinkers seeking the truth obtain independent articles, news stories, videos, books, memes, music, and quotes. I publish and archive about 8,000 posts each year on the most crucial issues facing humanity. To expose and overcome the satanic forces, we must unite and defend freedom of speech. So please share and support earthnewspaper.com. Thank you, Mark R. Elsis, now in my 29th year publishing honest and independent news online. And Mark and I did a show that I think you'll find on this website to celebrate his 25th year, and we put it out on that very day of the anniversary. Okay, so I'm going to scroll right down because there's something that he put up that I kind of was aware of, but I would have missed it. He's obviously got, here it is. He's got a great, either a great site that he's aware of with anniversaries and dates or stuff like that, or just, I don't know how he does it, but he has these different sections like music of the day, website of the day, all these different things. And I'm going back to May the 19th now, and you're going to know why when I read you this. On May the 19th, 1978, British rockers Dire Straits released their debut single, Sultans of Swing, in the United Kingdom. Initially recorded as a demo in the summer of 1977, the song gained traction on London radio stations and soon led to a record deal. Re-recorded for the band's self-titled album, Sultans of Swing became one of Dire Straits' signature hits, landing in the top five in the US, South Africa and Canada, and the top 10 in the UK and Australia. So, ooh, there's a Dire Straits website here. Is that official? We can go over to... it goes down to the Music of the Day section. That's fine. Yeah, so basically, it's... what was I going to get to? I think I'd be a bit annoyed if I was around at the time and I heard the single and I bought the album and it was a different version on the album. But I understand the history was that Mark Knopfler, there was a bit of it he didn't think was good enough and he improved it. So it's a different version on the album. I think I've heard them both and I think he's right. I think the album version is better. But it makes me wonder if on these greatest hits packages, the first one that Dire Straits did was Money for Nothing, which was the greatest hits collection. Sultans of Swing was on that, I believe. Was it that original single version? Because all the others were singles, or did he use the album version again? And then there's been subsequent Dire Straits Greatest Hits packages. I'm not that interested that I'm going to go and look it up, but it's just something that crossed my mind right now. Okay, so we will finish off with the Before It's News Top 10. Let's see what's on. Just make sure I haven't made any more notes here. No, I have not. So, we're coming up to an hour. So I hope this has been an hour worth listening, folks. I don't like to waste anybody's time. Okay, so we'll scroll down before it's news.com to number 10. Went up 5 hours ago, 105 people viewing. Michael Jaco and David Nino Rodriguez, get ready. Prepare for mass arrests and emergency alerts. Folks, whenever there's a date in the title, I always leave that out. It just makes it sound disjointed. It's going to be recent if it's in the top 10, generally. Sometimes you get a top 10 that hangs around for 2-3 days, but it never lasts much longer than that. Number 9 went up 12 hours ago, 120 people viewing. Alex Jones, urgent emergency, shares never before heard Trump and US military intel. Number 8 went up 4 hours ago, 135 people viewing. Byington bombshell report, greatest political and financial shift in history underway. IRS gone, be ready. Number 7 went up 6 hours ago, 149 people viewing. Kim Gokwon, full situation update. US Inc. dissolved, America a republic under common law. Number 6 went up 5 hours ago, 178 people viewing. Mike King, full interview. Global military emergency broadcast alert within 48 hours. Be prepared. Number 5 went up 8 hours ago, 185 people viewing. New X22 report. Trump reveal the plan preparing for what's coming 2025. Number 4 went up 11 hours ago, 214 people viewing. Elon Musk drops bombshell on Republican Party. Number three went up 18 hours ago, 235 people viewing. New Bopolny, even. System warning, error 404. I think that's something you get on a website, isn't it? Number two went up 17 hours ago, 253 people viewing. Major decode update today. The hot seat with FCBD3 code, whatever that means. And number one went up 10 hours ago, 403 people viewing. David Nino Rodriguez, the Diddy Clinton Savile Network. So that being said, I want to thank all of you for joining me for this bonus show and those who donated to make it possible this Thursday, May the 22nd, 2025, entitled The Oldest Football Club in the World. I'll be back with you in a couple of days on Saturday. And until then, folks, enjoy the rest of the week. Thank you for listening, and bye for now.